now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tim just came up and shared with me 2 weeks ago. He came up and he was prayed for because he was dealing with, he couldn't get over chewing snuff. And the Lord set him free, and he hasn't had any snuff in 2 weeks. Amen. The snuff got snuffed out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. It's kind of interesting. Temperature-wise, is everyone okay? Are you all right? That window being open? Okay. Is everybody comfortable? Amen. Anybody uncomfortable? You matter. Amen. Okay. The devil's ploy, you know, his ploy is to try to steal your crown, to make you frown, and turn your life upside down. I'm a poet, right? I didn't even know it. Amen. The Apostle Paul says this, and I want you to get a hold of this because we're not pointing the word at anyone. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make us free. So when we're speaking the truth of God's word, we're not pointing the word at anyone. You know, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't pass it to your neighbor. I heard somebody say one time, it doesn't fit, pass to your neighbor. And then we're judging our neighbor. So we're not going to hand nothing to our neighbor. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So today, our prayer is that the Spirit gets a hold of our flesh. Hello? And, you know, when I was looking at this word in Colossians chapter 2, it's kind of interesting. When Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, he's writing to the church of Christ. But in the book of Colossians, the church of Colossus, he's writing to the Christ of the church. Amen. And the preeminence of Christ. That we're not worshiping the creation, but we're worshiping the Creator. And let's just read and see what the Lord wants to say to us through the preaching and teaching of His Word today. And Colossians chapter 2, verse number 16, right before I get into that, see, the Jews were trying to bring the Judaic ceremonies and the ordinances and trying to bring the law and with grace. And, you know, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved by faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God has foreordained that we should walk in them. So it's not that we're not doing things for the kingdom of God, but it's the heart of what we're doing. Amen. You know, man looks on the outward appearance, and God, He's always looking at our hearts. Okay? And so they were trying to put some extra things onto the Christians, some different ceremonies and different things, and Paul speaks this word. At verse number 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Let's say one of the things, he's not saying that we don't obey the law of the land. He's saying, he's talking about the ordinance of the Jewish law, and there's two ordinances we follow in Christ Jesus. That's being baptized, and that's taking of communion. And they're the only two ordinances. He said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And I want to focus your attention to verse number 18 today that says, let no man beguile you. That word beguile means to defraud. To defraud you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Today we're going to talk about a self-serving generation. We're going to look at the self-ritualistic, self-reachers, and self-righteous. Amen? Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. And it'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here today. So, Lord, I pray again, Father God, speak through this vessel. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers in this room. When all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory, honor, and praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. First off, we want to look at, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Let understand with me, we have only one mediator, Jesus Christ. There's no other mediation, there's no other person that stands between you and I and the kingdom of God. We're not praying for angels. We're not praying to angels. We're praying to Jesus Christ alone. He is our mediator between man and God. And when I look at this, at first we say self-ritualistic or doing rituals that get the attention of man. I call this being self-willed. For example, self-willed or self-ritualistic will, I'm fasting, so I'm going to cover myself up with ashes so everybody sees that I'm fasting. God says what you do secretly, I will reward openly, okay? We're not a show. Or you're supposed to look like this or dress like this or walk like this or act like this. In other words, what God is saying, man looks on the outward appearance and God's looking at our hearts. Amen. God sets the standard. God says, come just as you are. God calls us to dress modestly. Yeah. But wearing black ain't getting you anywhere. We're not Johnny Cash. Nope. I'm not talking about the black suit you have on today, brother. That's a great looking suit you got. You don't have to shed it. I don't want you to shed it. You know, and that's a nice looking tie. And you all look good. Everybody looks good. Amen. Amen. Just because I choose to wear a tie, this doesn't make me holy. Because I wear a jacket doesn't make me righteous. God wants you to know that we're to dress modestly and we're not to do all these practices of religion and tradition. Hello? God's talking right first. He says, let's deal with our self-will, our self-gain. So look with me in Mark chapter 8, and let's listen to Jesus. I love me some Jesus. Anybody a lover of Jesus in the room? Jesus gives us instructions about self-gain here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. He says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him do what? First, deny himself. Deny himself. Secondly, take up his cross. Cross means what I have to do. I'm dying. Not literally. And follow me. So in other words, if I can't deny myself, I'll never take up the cross. And if I never take up the cross, I'll never follow him. He's speaking to the church, and he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to leaders and workers and helpers in the body of Christ. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and simple generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. You know, Jesus says to you and I, one, it takes some self-denial. Self-denial. You know, it's not about us. It's not all about us. God's called us to be ministers to others. Amen. We're to love one another. We're to accept one another. We're not comparing ourselves with others. Amen. You know, in other words, some go for self-gain and some are self-grounded. Turn me to Luke chapter 6. This is what happens if we're grounded in self. Again, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it don't, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because somewhere in the message, God's going to speak to every last one in the room, someplace, somewhere. I know that in several areas when I was studying the message, there were things that he was revealing in my life that I had to get right. In other words, he said, you get it right before you speak it and tell someone else. Amen. Jesus said this when we're self-grounded in Luke chapter 6, verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In other words, on Christ the solid rock we stand. If we're trying to build our foundation on self ground, it will crumble. The storms of life will come in and it will crash. You're talking about a wind. Anytime, most of the time, when the Father's talking about a wind and the Word of God, it's a wind of adversity. When he's speaking about rivers, they're troubled waters. There's times of trouble. There's times of trial and test in this life. And when we're founded on a solid foundation, these storms cannot beat us and knock us down. Amen. But if we're trusting in ourselves, guess what? We crumble. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because I just want to make this point. First Corinthians 3, verse number 10. And we're talking about a building. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about as children of God. Verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he shall build thereupon. For other foundation could no man lay that is laid, than that which is laid is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, good, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and it is because it shall be revealed with fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Paul isn't saying you're losing your salvation if you don't do these things. Our salvation comes by putting our trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. But our works that we do for the kingdom of God are going to be tried by fire. My salvation isn't tried. My reward is tried. Amen. My reward is tried. Was I doing it for self or was I doing it for him? Amen. Was it to glorify God or was it to glorify myself? Amen. And see, he says they're going to be tried with fire, but you're not going to lose your soul. Amen. You're just going to sometimes some may smell like they just came out of hell. You know? Because he does say there that, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. Amen. So we're not questioning anyone's salvation. He said in this in the word today, he said also that they were intruding into those things which he have not seen. Caveat emptor. Buyer beware. In other words, beware of people that come and talk to you about dreams they had about you. You know, most of the dreams I have are dreams. And, you know, like he says, your young man shall have vision, your old man shall have dreams. And he's not talking about just, we're talking about kingdom dreams. Amen. And there's so many dreamers out there today. Everything's a dream and everything. And if it doesn't align with the word of God, it's not truth. You know, and so he says, hey, there's self-reachers. And self-reachers is ones that are self-wise. And you know, the Apostle Paul said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 5:21, the Bible says, woe to the wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own, those that are prudent in their own sight. Amen. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. To illustrate this, turn with me to John chapter 9. How many know that everything that Paul, the Apostle Paul talked about, Jesus taught? Amen. Amen. So when we get into the words of Jesus, amen, we find this word here is, well, I'm going to call this, the first was self-willed, the second would be self-workers. We'll just call them self-workers, or self-wise, excuse me. In John chapter 9, we find that Jesus had the audacity to heal a blind man on the Sabbath. All right. And the religious leaders were complaining about Jesus doing on the Sabbath day. Amen. So because they were trying to bring the law into grace. But listen to what Jesus tells them in John chapter 9, verse 39. He said, for judgment I am come into this world, and they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And in other words, the Redeemer, the Savior, was right in front of their face, and they didn't see him, so they were still blind. Amen. And they're still blind today. Amen. But God has given you and I sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are no longer spiritually blind, but our eyes have been opened to see. Amen. By the Spirit of God that works in you and I. In Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at the I lost my thought a second. Shame on you. Look with me, excuse me, look with me into Ephesians 4:17. Pardon me. Say, I forgive you for making me pause a moment. And Ephesians 4:17, the Apostle Paul says this: "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Amen. Amen. So we're not going to be self-ritualistic. We're not going to be self-preachers. We're going to put others before ourselves. Jesus says, "Given it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you give, other men shall give." And oh, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. In other words, what he was saying here is that their minds were puffed up. In other words, their minds were inflated. In other words, they had placed themselves on a pedestal and were looking down at the people around them. They were looking down as Jesus said they would in his word. Amen. Look with me in Titus chapter 1. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to his student Titus. He says, "Don't give heed to Jewish fables," verse 14, "and commandments of men that turn from the truth." He said, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate or rejected or not active." You know, we're to be busy about the Father's business. Amen. You know, there's a world that's lost and dying and going to hell, and we have the answer. Amen. That he's called them as his workmen, as his workers. Amen. You know, James says, "You show me your faith and I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead, being alone." In other words, there's something that comes out of my faith. I'm not doing it to earn my faith or get my faith. I'm doing it out of. It's a P.S. Thank you, Jesus. And one of the things that he wants to speak to them about again is, not only were they self-ritualistic and they were self-reachers, and he was talking about the Judaizers that were trying to bring this doctrine and to grace and trying to add things. And there's people all around the world are trying to add things to grace. If you do this, you do that. You do this, you do that. You do this, you do that. If you do this, if you do that. Now, if you do this, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and you let His word abide in you and you abide in Him, all of a sudden, you'll walk with Him and He'll talk with you and you'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus. All these other things we're doing out of, not to earn. We're not trying to earn or deserve anything. But there's so many people in the world, and this happens so much in the body of Christ, that put themselves up on a pedestal, amen? They get inflated minds, and what they want people to see is, turn with me to Luke 18. Let's look what Jesus says. We're going to call this the self-righteous. Amen? Self-glorified. Amen? I don't know about you, but when you read the Word of God, Jesus makes it plain and simple. There ain't no gray area in it. In verse number 9, he says, he spake this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Then he said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. Oh, I'm not unjust, Lord. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I put. Wait a minute, let me stop there a second. And I'll give tithes of all. Remember, this is Jesus teaching this. Some people think that the tithe is just in the Old Testament. Jesus is teaching the tithe in the New Testament. And he wasn't teaching about the tither. He was teaching about the tither's heart. Amen. This is Jesus giving a parable and a story. Amen. And God didn't say that he was here and these two were here. When he spoke of parables, he said, what if you saw this and this? Or wonder if this was like this and this was like this. In other words, he is telling them a story. Amen. He's not in the sanctuary and saying, hey, see these two guys, this guy's a Pharisee and this guy's a publican. He's speaking to his disciples and he's telling them a story so they would get understanding, right? And he says here, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Amen. In other words, I'm not here. We're not supposed to be comparing ourselves with one another. You know, we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to label sin. We usually want to talk about somebody that has something that we don't deal with. And we make that number large. That's a 10, Lord. The sin I do, that's only a 3. I'm sure glad that you grade on the Richter scale, Lord, and there's a 10 and there's a 3. Yeah. Jesus says that 3 is just as simple as the 10.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. Come Amen. On. He tells us, judge not one another, lest you be judged. Amen. God called us to love one another. If you see your brother in a sin, that's not the death, warn your brother in love. You know, don't warn them in condemnation. You know, if we communicate in love, man, Jesus said, let love arise. God arise, God is love. Let God arise and the enemy will be scattered, right? Amen. So he is saying to us, hey, let's not be self-righteous. Amen. Let's not put us up on that, put ourselves on that pedestal. Amen. Paul, when he is speaking to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're talking about love. You know, when the Apostle Paul was teaching about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12 of Corinthians, he stepped in the middle of it and talked about what it's all about. Everything's to be seasoned with love. And then chapter 14, he brought edification to what he spoke in chapter 12. And it's so important that we get a hold of these words. And 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it says, love or charity is love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. Amen. And when we're looking at these things, in other words, we're not looking at one another and saying, hey, you have this or you have that or you do this or you do that. What God is saying to you and I, let's look at ourselves. You know, because when I turn back to Revelations, and I go back to Revelations, Jesus says how he's going to handle it. He didn't come to judge now. But one day he'll return for his bride. He's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And the spot or wrinkle or any such thing is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's trusting in Christ alone. It isn't that we become perfect. We just serve a perfect Lord. Amen. That's here to help us. But he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he says, I know thy works, that you're neither cold or hot. I would that you were cold or hot, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Amen. In other words, God's saying, hey, it's time for the body of Christ to put ourselves on the shelf. It's time for the body of Christ to put others above themselves. Amen. It isn't about me. It's all about me. God's already came into my life. Amen. And as I'm doing and I'm ministering to others, he ministers to me. But you know what? When I'm standing there in that place and oh me, 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 oh he is saying, give and it shall be given back to you, good measure. Oh me, oh me, oh me. Oh me, oh me, oh me, go give to somebody else. Oh me, oh me, go pray for somebody else. Oh me, oh me, oh me, woe witness to somebody else. Oh me, oh me, oh me. Because when I'm giving for the kingdom of God, he pours into you and I. Amen. God is faithful. God will do everything he said he will do in his word. There is not one word that will fall to the ground that he will not accomplish and he will not do. Amen. He is telling to you and I, hey, there's all kinds of people that are going to come into the kingdom of God. They're going to look all kinds of different forms and shapes, and they're going to have all kinds of different colors, and they're going to have all kinds of different backgrounds, and they're going to come from all kinds of different places. And God says, don't you stick your nose up at no one. Amen. Don't walk with your nose up, because every time you walk with your nose up, I block you from hearing from you. I'm not even listening to the prideful person. You know, he said, hey, pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. If I'm walking around with a prideful spirit, the Lord says, I'm going to give you a lesson. And you know how my lesson comes? It comes through a trial. It comes through a test. It comes through some type of tribulation. And I can't wonder why I go, understand why I keep going through tribulation, because I'm walking with my nose up in the air. Get your nose down. We're on earth for the one purpose and one reason, to love people into the kingdom of God. Love will hide a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. God's called us to be lovers of mankind. Not lovers of sin, but lovers of God. Amen. So in closing. Hallelujah. You right? Hallelujah. Does anybody hear what the Lord's saying today? Does anybody hear what the Lord's saying today? You know, we're getting ready to come and take of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. He did that for you and I so that we could have everything. Not by the things we have to do to get them, but by trusting in the one who did. Trusting in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way. I think sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe sometimes we forget where God found us. We forget where we were when He came into our hearts and our lives. We forget all the junk that we had in our trunk. And God is a God of love that continues to pour out His love. He continues to give His love until it's all consummated and complete. Man, we live in one of the greatest times in the church calendar. I truly believe we as this body of Christ and bodies of Christ around the world are going to get to witness. I believe that everything is taking place in the prophetic calendar that needs to take place, and we're closer than we ever were before. And what the Lord is saying to you and I is, hey, it's just not about you. It's not just about you. There's a whole world that needs Jesus. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the fruits of the Spirit. We have everything this world needs. We have the answer to every problem, to every situation, to every circumstance in this world. I'm not knocking President Trump, but without God in the White House, Trump won't make a difference. Without God being in the center of this nation, it won't make a difference. God is calling His children back to Him. He's calling us to come with our whole hearts and allow Him to transform us into the man and woman that He originally created, that the adversary has kind of deformed. You're a perfect image of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. He said, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. So today we're going to gather around the altar for communion today. And you know, if you've drifted away from the Lord, ask Him to come back. He's faithful. He didn't leave. He hasn't left you. You left Him. Just tell them that you'll return. Can we gather around the altar for communion today?